At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
EAGLES, Eagles.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome in to a new week here on Jacob Sports as we get closer and closer to the 2025 NFL season. Eagles heading out to the practice field today for day number 9 of open practice to the media. All right, I think they've had 11 total with 2 walkthroughs, but 9 open to the media. You got our first preseason game this week in a few days versus Cincinnati Bengals. That'll be Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. If you're going to the preseason game, you let me know in the chat box. I'd love to hear from you. I know a lot of people make fun of preseason. Preseason does stink. It's not fun football. I'm not going to sit here and sell you a sob song about what is not true, but at least our Eagles are on the football field. You know, we don't all get a chance to watch some of these players play at practice every single day like Johnny Mack does. And now we're going to have a chance to get to see him out on the football field. So I'm looking forward to that. That'll be this Thursday. And then I think the 2 preseason games after that are the 16th. So it'll be about a week and a half. It'll be a Saturday 1 o'clock game. That's middle of August. All right. And then that's versus the Browns. That'll be after the joint practice game that week. And then the final preseason game will be August 22nd. I believe that's a Friday night. Let me double check that for you guys. 22nd. Yeah, that's a Friday night, 7:30. So you have Saturday at 1 in August 16th, Friday night, 7:30. And then this week is 7:30 p.m. on Thursday night. So should be good. We're going to at least get the chance to see this football team on the field. And if you're a football honk, which I know a lot of you are, all right, then I'm sure you'll enjoy, to some extent, the Philadelphia Eagles getting on the field this week. Yesterday was day number 8 of practice, everybody, and today will be day number 9. Good news through practice so far is that defense has looked pretty good so far. There are still a lot of different questions and a lot of different things to discuss on the defensive side of the ball, but defense has looked pretty good through camp, in camp so far at this point. A little bit of an injury bug. I don't want to say it's an injury bug because I don't think we can go there yet, but I do think there is a little bit of an injury bug going around. Yesterday, A.J. Brown was pulled off or didn't practice yesterday with a hamstring. So I don't know. Let's keep an eye on it. I'm not going to sit here and, you know, make you all nervous. I don't think it's that big of a deal, but I do think we should keep an eye on the injury bug right now. In practice, we've had quite a few guys miss. So Terrace Marshall missed some time. Bond missed some time. He's since returned. Makuba hasn't returned yet in full capacity, but he's been back out there. So that's a good thing. But I hate hearing hamstrings. You know, it's just that soft tissue stuff. So A.J. Brown was out. We'll keep an eye on that. Overall, I don't think there's any real reason to be concerned that A.J. Brown will miss. Right now, it's August 4th. And September 4th is the Eagles opener, all right, versus the Dallas Cowboys. So I believe we are 31 days. If my math in my head is correct, and I know how many days are in August is correct, how many days until September 4th? I believe that'd be 31. Correct. I am correct. So 31 days, everybody, from the home opener. We are officially 1 month away. So 1 month away from real, tangible starter regular season football for the Philadelphia Eagles. Is it just me or did that come quick? Did that come quick? All right, when you win a Super Bowl and you can parade around Broad Street for a couple extra months, the offseason goes a little bit shorter. So good stuff there for the Philadelphia Eagles. 31 days out from camp. The other thing, obviously, that we're all paying attention to in camp is those some of the battles. All right, you got the cornerback battles right now, and Adoree Jackson and Kelee Ringo continue to battle it out. Andrew Makuba has probably taken a couple steps back just in the race to win the safety job right now because, hey, he's missed the last 4 days, you know. So That's going to obviously impact you a little bit, but you know, that's just a week one thing. It's not like Makuba doesn't have a chance to win the job in the macro sense or for the full season, or, you know, maybe it's like a Cooper DeJean situation where he doesn't start for right away, but they do get him in there. So we'll keep an eye on Andrew Makuba, but I've been waiting for him to get back. So we will keep an eye on that. Any camp names that have surprised you guys? I'll take your comments in the chat right now. It's good to see everybody this morning. Just to give you an update, Johnny Mack, John McMullen will join us by phone in probably about 5 minutes or so. So we'll get John McMullen up by phone this morning before day number 9. I believe today is Vic Fangio day, which means Vic will speak. And it's always a good day when Vic Fangio has to speak. So I'll be listening to what Vic has to say today. Abe checks him with a good name. He says Mack McWilliams. How about it, man? Fifth round rookie. Looking pretty good. Looking pretty good at camp right now. He's kind of a key. You know, I don't want to put too much expectation on a fifth round rookie, but you know, the interesting part about him is if this kid is capable of playing the slot, you know, immediately in day one, what does that open up for what you can do with Cooper DeJean, the other cornerbacks and the other safeties? Because let's just live in fairy tale world for a second. If Mack McWilliams can be a starting slot corner in the NFL, now you can move Cooper either to safety or to the outside cornerback full time. So I don't know. Look, I don't know if Vic wants to do that. Vic might be like, even if Mack can play, I want Cooper at the slot. And I'm sure some of you in the chat will say, oh, I want Cooper in the slot. That's fine. I understand that. He was so damn good in the slot last year for us, and it fits his skill set so well because he's just a ball hawk type of player all over the place. But the reality is they're going to run a lot of different packages. They're going to have their base. They're going to have dime. They're going to have nickel. They play nickel most of the time. So, you know, what will that look like and what type of changes will come between each of those packages? And the more players you have that are capable, that you're confident in, the more you can do. So right now, I can't really say Vic has too much confidence in Adoree Jackson. Didn't sound like it at this last press conference. We'll hear what Vic has to say about it today. Keely Ringo, I think, is battling. I can't say Vic has full confidence in him just yet. And you've heard Vic talk about this at the press conferences. You know, don't shoot the messenger. He said this many times, where it all depends on the other guys, basically, on what he's going to do with Cooper and the opposite cornerback and the starting safety and all those different things. So got to keep an eye on that. I'm excited to hear Vic speak today, though. But it will be interesting to see. M2 Frias, what's up, brother? I don't know if you're new to the channel. I've never seen the name before. I appreciate you being here, and I like the pupper in the profile picture. He says, question, why do people just assume Makuba is going to beat out Sydney? I think we need Sydney to win that job because of his intensity and physicality. If Vic can hone him in, he has the higher upside. That's interesting. Interesting take there. There's a couple things I agree with you on, and there's a couple things I don't agree with you on. I don't agree he has a higher upside. I think Makuba actually has the higher upside just in the sense that he is a coverage safety. He's still physical, plays the game very physical, very fast, but he's a little bit more grounded in the way he approaches that position as compared to Sydney, who's a little bit more of a wild card. You know, not a disciplined player is kind of the knock on him right now, Frias. So, look, I'm not assuming he's going to beat out Sydney. I actually think Sydney's going to be the safety week one. So I think the question there would be, what's it going to be when, you know, week 6 rolls around, week 10 rolls around? Does Sydney keep the job long term, or when Makuba's fully healthy, you know, does he kind of steal the job? That's what we'll see. But and then the other thing with Sydney is he's just not disciplined, and Vic likes disciplined players. You know, as good as CJ Gardner-Johnson was, at times he freelanced, and I don't think Vic likes that very much, you know? So we got to keep an eye on that. Good question though, Frias. I appreciate it, brother. I appreciate it. Eduardo says Sydney is more aggressive though. Makuba has the higher upside. That's kind of how I see it. Sydney is a little bit more of an aggressive in your face type of player. Makuba probably has the higher upside though. So we'll keep an eye on that. Still plenty of things to talk about. The other positive so far in camp has been Jahad Campbell. he continues to like bully people, hitting people a little too hard. So I think that's a good thing. That's better than the alternative, in my opinion. So that's been a good sign so far from training camp, and we'll continue to see how that progresses in week three of camp. Thursday night, first preseason game versus the Bengals. I mentioned that's 7:30 p.m. And day number 9 of practice today. I got Johnny Mack in the green room now, so let's go to John McMullen joining us right now here on a Football 24/7 Morning Edition. J-Mack, how you doing, brother?
Doing well. Trying to get my voice in the car, so hopefully it'll come.
Yeah, no, you're right. I know you were at SummerSlam. I'm good, man. I know you were at SummerSlam last night. Did you end up staying for the full show? I didn't catch all of it, but it did seem like it was one of the shows, John, that would pull you in and keep you in for the duration of it. Are you feeling a little extra tired today because of SummerSlam yesterday?
Yeah, I'm definitely feeling extra tired because it was 2 days instead of 1 day. First time it was ever 2 days, which I think they should scale it back to 1 day, but that's me. And then you got to go to Eagles camp, so in between. So I left early, and now I'm regretting I left early because it was a great finish, great match. And then obviously Brock Lesnar returns for wrestling fans. All in all, it was a great weekend. Would have been nice if it was in Philly, but it was in New York, Newark, Jersey. But, back to the grind of the Eagles.
Yeah, anybody who's ever driven up there, all right, if you're in the region, you know, the minute you get up in North Jersey, it just feels like it's a suburb of New York, because it is. But, the traffic gets bigger or gets longer. The drivers get worse, with all due respect to our North Jersey people, and it's a chaos. So, Johnny Mack, good stuff on that. John, it's Vic Fangio Day, brother. Day number 9 of the Eagles on the practice field open to the reporters. I know you got something in mind that you want to talk to Vic about, or you want to hear him talk about. What is that, John, as we come into this Monday morning practice?
Well, I think the biggest thing is Eli Ricks. Is it real? Is he moving to be closer to competing with Kaylee Ringo and Adoree Jackson for that cornerback job opposite Quinyon Mitchell? Which my hunch is it's not quite there yet, and we'll see what Vic says. But that's number one for me. And then, you know, you'll get the typical how's Jihad doing and all that kind of stuff. I do want to get something in about Ty Robinson as well, because Ty's seemed to the outside, to people on the outside, to have struggled a little bit. So that's it. Makuba, you know, not being on the practice field. Mac McWilliams now, you know, a lot of talk about Mac McWilliams. Now, same thing, rookie not on the practice field. So how does that affect him? And we kind of know these answers, but I think, you know, Vic will be blunt about them, as he usually is. And the short answer is that, of course, it affects them. And it the quicker they get back, the better it is for them.
John, even if you know what Vic is going to say, sometimes it's still fun listening to him say it, because he's so blunt and you just love to hear it from Vic Fangio. John, I'm going to go to Mac McWilliams real quick. We'll talk about Eli Ricks and that cornerback. But, you know, Mac is interesting to me, John, and I'm going to leave aside the injury. I know he missed practice yesterday a little bit. I don't know. What was the injury real quick on Mac McWilliams?
Quad. So a little bit of, I think that's an injury that might take some time. Any soft tissue,
right.
A lot of hamstrings recently. But that's one that might take some time. And, you know, he's going to be here, as I always say. So it's not really that big of a deal long term. But I do think it's short term, if you're looking for the best five, and if he's in that conversation, which, you know, outside chance that he was, at best, but nonetheless, anytime you lose a body who's doing well, that impacts things a little bit.
No doubt. John, I want to go to the interesting part of Mac to me. And, you know, we've talked a lot about how, John, the moving parts on the defense, a lot are going to be dictated by the other guys, quote unquote. You know, where does Cooper play? Well, let's see what the other guys can do. Does Ringo win the outside job? Does Makuba or Brown win the safety spot? So it's a lot of the other guys. Well, I've now added in my brain Mick Mack McWilliamson because, and I don't know, John, I know he's a rookie, fifth-round rookie. I don't want to put too much expectation on him, but if you do get the unlikely scenario where, hey, I feel pretty confident about this player, he's had a very good camp before this injury hit, what does that change? Like, because he's a slot player, you know, does that move? Does that change what you can do with Cooper DeJean? Does it give you more versatility in that front where Cooper can play safety or maybe even the outside corner because you feel better about the slot? Now, I'm not going to sit here and say Mack McWilliams is going to be a better slot than Cooper DeJean. I know that. But I'm trying to make the full defense better overall, and I think he has a chance to do that if he can competently play one of the positions where there's an open battle, or even if he can play slot and then you can move Cooper. Am I putting the cart before the horse on him? Still too early to tell that, or do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I think if he's healthy, the cart is before the horse there. But yeah, what was him not being healthy is completely, you know, off the table. Anything like that. Not that, again, it would be in play anyway. But the more time he misses, the less likely. You know, when you talk about Mack McWilliams, if you think about Jalex Hunt's a little bit down his rookie season, that's more of his path to playing time. That'll come if he continues to develop confidence from the coaches and injuries happen, and then they're comfortable with his development behind the scenes to throw him in there. That's more of what you're talking about with Mack McWilliams as a rookie. Long-term, you know, he's got a chance to be in those conversations for Cooper's ultimate spot, whatever that might be. And, you know, I think it might be versatile. As we said, we say with Jihad Campbell. I mean, I really think that if you look around the rest of the NFL, there's a bunch of these players that play different positions every single week, every single year. And it really hasn't happened in Philly that much. So I think people don't think of it that way. I think Vic thinks of it that way. So ultimately, you know, I don't think you might be in a position where Cooper DeJean never has a stationary position where he's playing everything, corner, safety. And I think everybody's kind of framed it that way. And I think he's a little bit different because of that versatility and the ability to use him all over the field.
That's a big ask, man, Cooper DeJean. It's amazing what they're asking him to be already in his career. But I certainly think he's capable of doing it. So interesting. We'll keep an eye on all that. I do think, John, good clarity there on McWilliams as well. John, let's go into Eli Ricks, man. He's had a great couple of days at camp and is the unlikely third contender to win the cornerback two battle. Is it real, John? Is Eli Ricks really in the running, you think, to win this job, or is it a good camp story right now? How do you see Eli Ricks having some good practices? He was the first name you mentioned this morning, J-Mac.
Yeah, and that's what I want to ask Vic. I don't think it's real yet, but we'll see what he says this morning. The reason I don't think it's real yet is because he hasn't gotten meaningful first-team snaps. And by that, I mean, you know, the other day he was in there in the red zone and got an interception, and I think people made a big deal out of it. But that might have been, you know, one of two first-team snaps. And then he came back the next day, and I don't think he had any first-team snaps. So he's still not getting that kind of work, which would indicate, all right, he's in the rotation to look at for a potential starter. Those are all Adoree's reps and Keely Ringo's reps. So, but he has played well on the second team, really well recently. He seems to be gaining confidence, which is common with young players as they get more comfortable. So I think it's all positive, but I don't think he's in the conversation to be the potential starter, at least yet. But, you know, Vic might say something different.
And, right.
That's sort of the first question.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
I want to get out there, but, you know, Vic's press conferences are tend to be sellouts, so you got to get there early, which is what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, right. Get down there safe, Johnny. Back to you. Vic has to say, I'm sure it should be a good press conference today, and we'll keep an eye on Eli Rick. It's been a pleasant surprise, and even if he's not in the running, I do think it's good to have, you know, another depth player that can play the position, you know, and that's obviously always a good thing. If he makes the team, I think he should be positioned to make the team. So we will see how that all shakes out. Johnny Mack moving in, continuing along. Let's go to that safety spot real quick. Makuba still out in terms of not full running, not doing full team drills and things of that nature. Sydney Brown, how has Sydney Brown looked in camp? Because people are starting to come to the senses of, okay, it looks like Sydney Brown's probably going to be at least the starter to start the year. Doesn't mean he's going to be it forever, but how does Sydney Brown look, John? Does he look like he's an improved player? Does anything look different to you this year? A lot of people talk about, John, that he plays the game with a little bit of a lack of discipline, and that obviously is contrary to what Vic Fangio would want in a safety. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Gardner Johnson, who liked to freelance at times. Now, from that, you get plays being made, but Vic is Vic, you know, and he likes you to be in position. What are you seeing from Sydney Brown so far through camp?
Well, yeah, I think he's had a good camp. Not a lot of splashy stuff, but not a lot of mistakes either, and that's exactly what Vic probably wants. Yes. At this stage. So I think that's a positive, if anything, for Sydney. Obviously, he's getting extended. He's getting even more first-team reps because Makuba hasn't been able to go in team drills. So that's a positive for him. You know, you mentioned the CJ comparison. As a rookie, you know, we've talked about it a lot. You know, he's finally on record, so everyone heard it. I hope they heard it. Vic's on record. I hope they heard it. He was not healthy last year. That's the reason he didn't play. And now he's healthy. So I think there's big improvement from his rookie season. A lot of the time he was playing out of position. And I don't think it's necessarily that he lacks discipline. He plays very fast. And sometimes, you know, especially, you know, he got a lot of snaps at slot corner that year, which was a disaster for the Eagles as a whole, the position. He was one of the better. I think they used 9 guys that year because all the injuries. And he ended up being one of the better options. But that's not what he is. So I think part of it was just learning the position on the fly as a rookie, and he goes fast. He's a very fast player. Yeah. Goes a million miles an hour, which
he is uber athletic, man. He certainly looks the part, John.
Yeah, it's a positive if he knows what he's doing, and I think he knows more what he's doing at safety, and he's getting more comfortable. That'll come, but you know, my problem has been with this. Is the style. Where there's no comparison with CJ is the style. CJ is a pure cover safety who's also got some energy and physicality. He's more of a pure box safety, which really doesn't exist in this defense. So you're not really taking advantage of what he does best, his skill set, by playing this type of scheme. But as always, can't get what you want, the old Rolling Stones song. You know, you can't get what you want all the time. Maybe you get what you need if you try it. And maybe the Eagles do. With
John, I quote that song often, all right? Your girl's got a lot of needs in life, John. I quote that Rolling Stones song often.
Yeah, well, you know, I think the assumption is, well, he's got to, you know, there's, you can go through every year. Vic doesn't have 11 players that perfectly fit his system. That world doesn't exist. So you're always striving to find those players. But until you find those players, you utilize what you have the best way possible. And he does that better than most, I would say, to understate it. Probably does it better than anybody. So he'll figure it out. But I do think, you know, right now it would be a huge upset, barring injury, if Sidney Brown's not a week one starter.
Yeah, I agree. We'll see what ends up happening there. Johnny Mack, moving in. Let's move up to the defensive line. We'll talk edge rushers first right now. It's been your biggest concern, John, coming into camp. Now 8 days done camp, going into practice number 9 today. I don't want to speak for you, but I still believe it's your biggest concern. What have you seen from that room? Anything positive, anything negative to share? How your thoughts have evolved on the edge rusher room through the first 8 days of camp?
Yeah, I think Uche had some nice rushes on Sunday, yesterday. But, you know, for whatever reason, and Vic kind of dropped this in his last press conference, is, you know, you guys, and he's right, he's talking about reporters, you guys are focused on plays and splash plays and, you know, sacks and interceptions and receptions, and a lot of times it's the other stuff.
Right.
You know, are you doing your job? Are you? And I bring that up because Josh, to the naked eye, Josh has looked more impressive than Azeez Ojulari, but Azeez Ojulari keeps getting more first-team reps.
Does Ojulari kind of fit what Vic likes a little better, John, in your eyes? Like, Uche, to me, was more of a, you know, is he more of a one-trick pony in a sense that he can rush the passer well but maybe doesn't do the other stuff well? And Ojulari maybe doesn't rush the passer as well as Uche does, but, you know, he can set the edge. He can play in the run game. He does some of that other stuff better. Is that a fair synopsis of the two or no?
Well, I think the Eagles think that. They think he's got the higher ceiling as a player, evidently. I haven't seen it, but you know, of all the edge rushers, the most comfortable dropping into coverage has been Jalix, which makes some sense because he used to play safety at Cornell. Everybody else, Nolan's not bad at it. Nolan just came back in individual work from the concussion, hasn't been back in team drills, but he's pretty comfortable with it. But he played a lot of off-ball linebacker at Georgia, played some here as a rookie. So he's kind of comfortable with it. And everybody else looks like a fish out of water. They always look like a fish out of water.
Right.
But, you know, and that's, I say that about both Uche and Ojulari. But, yeah, I think the Eagles think he's a little bit better at the other stuff. And that's why they gave him a little bit more money. And they seem to want him to be in the position to be the third guy in the rotation. I don't think that's good enough, but we'll see how it shakes out.
Michael Parsons, are you out there? I'm just kidding. We won't get into that right now. Johnny Mack, how about the defensive tackles in the building? You know, Jordan Davis made a lot of headlines early, John, just with the way he showed up to camp, with the way he looked. And that's no guarantee that translates to the football field. Jalen Carter's been out there a little bit more. Now Thomas Booker, I think, has had a pretty good camp. And Moro Ojomo really has stole the show so far through camp, through 8 practices, with logging a really good summer so far from him. What do you think about the defensive tackle room and the depth at that room? It feels like it's maybe a little deeper than I thought coming into the year, but that's obviously no guarantee just yet. What have you seen from the DTs?
Yeah, I think they're fine at defensive tackle. Moro, as you mentioned, looks like he's ready to take a big step forward. Jordan's in better shape, so he's in a position to play more snaps. And it's been a slow start for Jalen Carter, who had the injury and has been back the past couple of days. But it's early August. He'll be fine as he ramps up. You know, the one slight disappointment is Ty Robinson doesn't look like a guy who's going to be day one rotation. Well, you do have the Thomas Bookers of the world, and even the Byron Youngs, who nobody talks about, that can handle that fourth sort of rotational spot as Ty Robinson, you know, continues to work on it behind the scenes. So I think defensive tackles, not many issues there compared to the edge, which I think are pretty significant, as I've kind of mentioned, pretty consistent.
Good stuff there. Johnny Mac, John, final question for you today, brother. Offense, what where are you after 8 days? I don't know if there's concern, if there's no concern. I think the offense is just kind of getting up to speed, but what do you want to see from the offense? Where are you on the offensive side of the ball through 8 days of camp, your thought process on them?
No real concerns with starting 11. I mean, some concerns with little pockets of depth here and there. But, you know, this entire week, really, Monday through Sunday, they had been working on a lot of crowd noise, a lot of silent counts to prepare for the season, pumping in noise, and they had a bunch of pre-snap penalties, so I think that freaked everybody out. That's why you do that stuff, to get them used to it. Plus, there's a lot of backups in practice where they're not going to be in practice. They're not going to be in a real game. So not a lot of questions on the offensive side. Kind of a boring camp for me from an offside because everything's so certain. And even Tyler Steen at right guard is pretty certain. So I wouldn't lose, like Jerry Jones told Cowboys fans not to lose sleep over Micah Parsons. I wouldn't lose too much sleep over the offense for the Eagles. Barring injuries, as we said.
That's a given, as always. Kevin Petullo acclimating nicely in your eyes, or what?
Yeah, I mean, I think Kevin's going to be fine. And I think, you know, this might end up being their best offensive coordinator. That's hard to say. I think Shane set the bar. I think Shane was really good. And they've always had a good offense, even with.
Well, John, you know, man, you know those expectations, though, John. You're one of the best to talk about stuff like that. I mean, Kevin Petullo might be damn good, but you basically got to finish top eight in Philly in the offense to be considered even close to a success. And if you're less than that, you might get blown out of town. So I think
Brian Johnson got blown out of town eighth, so.
Exactly.
That has more to do with the expectations of the team. So, you know, Brian Johnson might he'd probably be a head coach. But again, if the defense was any good last year, he wouldn't have been, he wouldn't have been a scapegoat. So, to me, getting blown out, either, you know, the Eagles generally are going to lose offensive coordinators for one or two reasons. One, it's going to be a head coach, or two, they're going to underperform and from expectations that he's going to get fired. But from just his perspective, if they finish eighth in the NFL, I would be disappointed. I don't think they had a good year offensively last year until the playoffs. Outside of Saquon, obviously. But I don't think they had a good offensive year last year. I think they're going to be much better offensively this year.
We'll see how it all shakes out. Johnny Mac, great stuff today. Vic Fangio coming up at 9:40. We'll be listening for your question in that, Johnny Mac, and then we'll talk to you tonight on a nightcap edition, 6 to 8 p.m. on Birds 365. Well done, J-Mac. We'll talk to you tonight, brother.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
All right. There's Johnny Mac. John McMullen joining us right here on a morning edition of Football 24/7, and we will have a full nightcap edition of Birds 365 tonight, 6 to 8 p.m. You guys heard it. I know a lot of people come here for Birds 365 in the morning. We can't have it when the Eagles have practice. So that's just the reality, the nature of the beast right now. So we work at night. We'll do the night show. We will always give you 2 hours on Birds 365 every single day. It's just a matter of when that is. All right. It's a matter of when that is. Abe, I apologize. Didn't even see your super chat. Didn't have them opened. When John was on, I would have read it to him if I saw it, brother. J-Mac, Jalen Carter said he's playing on both sides of the D-line now. Could you ask Vic if Jalen Carter could be used like TJ or JJ Watt? Interesting, Abe. Interesting. That would have been a good question. I don't think John would have actually used that question. So, my bad, Abe. My bad on the super chat. But I don't know. I mean, look, Jalen Carter is obviously good enough to handle much of anything, I think, on the defensive line. But, you know, I think J.J. Watt's probably a big ask. And it all depends. It all depends on the other guys, Abe. I mean, if the other guys stink or the other guys aren't playing good, you know, then you're going to move Jalen around more. But if you have competent play on every side, I mean, for example, Moro Ojomo, this guy looks really good right now through training camp. I told John this a while ago, and Cilia this, that he was going to be close to Milton Williams. Remember this? Who remembers this? All summer. There's that, you think Moro Ojomo is going to be Milton Williams? I must have heard that 50 times between John and Cilia. 50 might be like 50 a week for crying out loud. I think Moro Ojomo is going to be just fine. I'm not saying that to disrespect Milton Williams. Great football player. Love him. I mean, helped us win a Super Bowl. Probably will live in Philadelphia for eternity in terms of respect and love for the player. I am not approaching the season like we lost Milton Williams. We're fucked. Like, come on. I don't think that. I think Moro Ojomo is going to be great. He was good last year in a smaller sample size. Now, can you do it in a bigger sample size? Sure, it's a fair question. It's a fair question. I have confidence he will be because I've never seen anything to doubt that. I've never seen anything to you know, push against that. He was great in the sample size he had last year. He's going into year three. He's a seventh round draft pick. He's been dominating Eagles practices so far. Now, that doesn't mean too much. I mean, it's a good thing, but it's no guarantee that that means he's going to do that in games. But good pass rusher, smart football player, understands the game, understands the defense. Year two in this system with Vic. Vic knows what his skill set is. Like, I think he's in a good position to thrive. I really do. I really do. Plus, you got Jalen Carter next to you on one side. You got Nolan Smith or Jalix Hunt on the other side. I think he's in a good spot. So I have really no concerns about Moro, which, Abe, to your question, would change. You know, do you even have to move Carter that much? You know, do you even have to move Carter that much? You might not have to. Now, if Moro can't be as good as we're expecting him to be, maybe, you know, maybe, maybe. But we'll see, Abe. I appreciate the super chat, brother. As always, thank you all for doing it. Thanks, everybody, for being here this morning. A lot of great stuff. Dank Bird Gang checking in. What up, Dank? My boy, Dank. He says, I don't think John or Cilia recognize the emotion of the team and how hard they work. Almost too objective for the sake of it. That's actually a good – it's actually an interesting take, Dank, because, you know, that's actually, Dank, probably my favorite part of this. You know, it's fun to be an objective an analyst and everything like that, but I actually look at the people aspect of it more than most. That's just the way I'm wired. I look at that in everything in life. I look at that in my business. I look at that in football. I look at that in anything I watch. That's what I look at. I like the people element. What goes into the preparation to going out there and succeeding? What goes into it? What's the mindset needed to do it at a high level day in and day out? Right. And I think that's actually a good take by you because, you know, reporters, for whatever reason, and I don't know if they're entirely wrong because remember, they're trying to do their own job as well. But I don't know if they look at it like that. You know, I don't know if they look, it's like Jalen Hurts. You guys remember early in Jalen Hurts' years, it's like nobody gave a shit that Jalen had the best intangibles. He did. Everybody knew it. But nobody wanted to give him credit for it because it's like, well, your arm's not good enough. Or You weren't a first-round draft pick, and you don't have the upside of all these other quarterbacks, and you can't be as talented as Lamar or Kyler or any of these other. It's like, but now everybody sees, okay, the intangibles of Jalen Hurts clearly fucking matter, okay? They clearly matter. They clearly have a big part in the reason the Eagles have been so successful. So it's a good take by you, Dank, because there is more to this game than just talent or skill set or what you can do on a football field. There's heart, there's intangibles, there's work ethic, there's all sorts of different things that go into this, like there isn't anything in life, right? I mean, like there isn't anything in life. You know, if the most talented people or the smartest people were the ones that had success, the world would look a lot different, all right? The world would look a lot different. Intangibles matter, and that's in every sector of life. Intangibles matter. And I like the way you worded it, the emotion of the team. You know, again, that's a human element, right, Dake? That's a human element. So I appreciate that comment. That's a pretty good comment by you. I appreciate it. I appreciate it, Dan. Good stuff there. Dakota checking in. What up, Dakota? Good to see you, bro. Dakota, one thing I love to do, man, is I love to watch your content because I love. You know, Dakota, I sit behind a computer screen all day. Like, I love what I do. Don't get me wrong. I wouldn't change it for the world. I'm good. I'm not like the type of dude that looks and envies or desires what other people have. But every once in a while, I'll drive by like a blue collar work site, or I'll watch your stories on Instagram, laying concrete, fucking smashing the wood in, or you know, putting a nail in, and I'm like, man, that looks fun. Hanging out all day with the boys, using your hands, building shit, laying concrete, you name it. Every once in a while, Dakota, I'll look at that and be like, man, that looks fun. So I love watching your stories. Dakota, the other thing is, all right, Dakota, the other thing is, keep me in mind, Dakota, because I got the car channel now, all right? With the C8 Corvette, and I've been doing videos over on that channel. If you guys don't know, ZK's Garage, go check it out. But so the dream there, Dakota, maybe one day, I don't know if it'll be 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, or maybe never, who knows. But one of the dreams there, Dakota, would be, can I go out to the middle of PA or someplace in upstate Jersey out in the woods, and get myself 50 acres, all right? And then what I want to do, Dakota, is I want to build a track. Not a commercialized track, not for public use. I'm talking to take my cars there and give them the run. Do 0 to 60s, do launch controls, do, you know, all sorts of different driving things I can do. So I need you to lay the asphalt, all right? Even if it's not a track shape, just make it a huge, big block of concrete so I can shred in the car, all right? Off the public road so I can't get in trouble. Dakota, keep me in mind, all right? Keep me in mind, brother. I appreciate you being here. Dakota lays out, he does a lot of concrete work for a living, so pretty cool, pretty cool. Good stuff there. Appreciate it, brother. Eduardo checking in. What's up, brother? What's up, Eduardo? He says, to this day, it blows my mind on the amount of hate Hurts gets. It makes zero sense to me. It is what it is. It is what it is thought. Glad to have Hurts as our QB1. I'm with you, man. I'm with you, brother. I'm certainly glad to have him as our quarterback. I think, you know, a lot of people talk about the success of this team, and I don't want to take away credit from others because Howie's done a great job. Jeffrey Lurie has done an excellent job as an owner. All of the players outside of the quarterback who have put something in to getting us to where we are, they all deserve a lot of credit. And I have no interest in taking credit away from those people. That's not my point here. But when I think about Jalen Hurts and what he's brought to the team and the mentality and the mindset and all the intangibles that we just talked about a little bit, I don't think this team has the level of success they have with any other quarterback. I just don't. I hate the argument of, well, they got a good team. Jalen's being carried. No, he's fucking not. There's not a team in the league where the quarterback gets carried unless you're talking about a, you know, even like a Nick Foles situation. Like, everybody knew they had to carry the quarterback. The fans knew. That was, like, the assumption. You had a backup in. It was different. Jalen is the perfect quarterback for our football team. And you take his intangibles, his skill set, you couple that with the roster that we have, with the way Howie works, the way Jeffrey's been an owner of the team, and it's the perfect storm. It's created the perfect storm. And you know what? I'll even go a step further. Is it the perfect mindset to match with Nick Sirianni? I mean, look, Nick Sirianni's a little goofy. All right, we get that. All right, he's a little goofy. He's a little odd. You know, he says some goofy things. He acts like a child sometimes. Sometimes he can't rein in his emotions. Sometimes he wants to fight with fans. Like, take that, though, and couple that with a different quarterback. It might not work. Couple that with the cool, calm, stoic, almost emotionless when you need him to be emotionless, Jalen Hurts. And it's the perfect tandem. It's the perfect. And you can see that's why the culture in Philadelphia looks so good right now. Because Nick connects with the players in a way that most coaches can't, because he does have that empathy. He does have that, you know, that element of depth to him that maybe some other coaches don't have. Like, you think Bill Belichick connected with players? No. And they knew that. He was a football coach. Nick connects with players. He teaches players. And then when you have Jalen to bring that cool, calm stoicism into the room and then add that to, you know, with the success they've created, everybody buys in. Everybody's more bought in right now than I've ever remember a team being bought in. And I think a lot of that has to do with Jalen Hurts. I just do. I mean, you know, he's got the mindset that he has. He's got the mentality that he has. He talks about the things. You know, we all joke about it. Oh, the T-shirt slogans he speaks in. And, you know, it'd be one thing if he spoke in those T-shirt slogans and didn't live it. Like, when Jalen won the Super Bowl a couple months ago, I remember one of the shows that we did after, and I said this for a couple of weeks, but, you know, a couple of the shows right after, and I said, Jalen, it's great that he won, and it's great that he got a ring, and it's great that he'll get more recognition now league-wide, but the biggest thing that Jalen proved to me, just my personal opinion, the biggest thing he proved to me was he is who he says he is, okay? It's one thing to get on the podium, oh, you know, keep the main thing the main thing. Oh, I don't care about the stats. You know, I just want to win the football game. And, you know, I didn't walk through the fire just to smell the smoke. And all these different – anybody can say those fucking things. It's another thing to be a walking embodiment of who you say you are and who you present yourself to be. And he is that through and through, 100% without a shadow of a doubt. And that's my favorite part about him. You know, that's my favorite part about him. Don't fucking lie to me. And Jalen doesn't lie. All right, Jalen is who he says he is. And that's a big thing, man. That's a big thing. So, listen, the other thing, Eduardo, just to go back to your super chat for a second, the amount of hate Hurts gets, well, there's a lot of things to that, I think. I think there's a lot of things to that that are more than just football, too, by the way. You know, I think people are, you know, in a sense, they're jealous of the way he handles himself. I think he does a lot of things right. I think he does a lot of things differently than what people want him to do it. And because success has come from that, you know, you attend. People have like a set parameter. Like, this is what I think success. This is how I view the scouts, right? Like, the scouts ranked them 9. And it's like, the scouts believe a quarterback should look a certain way, should act a certain way, should play the game a certain way. And then you have Jalen who comes in, who they didn't rank that highly. He does it his way. He doesn't bend the knee to fucking anybody. He doesn't give a shit who says what about how he plays the game, how he handles the position, and how he carries himself. And then he has success. And then people immediately have to discredit that in some way. And that's where the hate, I think, comes from. Because people hate to see somebody be successful in their own way as compared to the way they expected it or presumed it had to be done. And that's how I think Jalen Hurts gets viewed by a lot of people, you know? And, you know, I don't want to put a color on it. I'm certainly not stupid enough to deny some of the things that come with being a black quarterback or whatever. Again, I'm a white guy. I can't speak on that fully. So I don't want to discredit it or give too much credence to it. But just leaving that out of it for a second, I think the way he handles himself makes people uncomfortable. I do. I think it makes people uncomfortable because they have an expectation for how you do things. And when Jalen does it his way, unapologetically, and then has the success that he's had, people are like, what the fuck? How do I discredit this now? Oh, it's the team. Oh, is it? Is it the fucking team? The whole team, speaking of the team, every one of them now acts like the quarterback. They all have that, his mindset. And the way he carries himself has permeated itself through the entire organization. From the bottom player on the roster to the fucking owner himself. They all have been influenced by Jalen Hurts. People don't like that shit, dude. I'm telling you right now, people don't like that shit. I promise you. And I'm not going to compare myself to Jalen, but I've always been the kid growing up that was like the outsider. I know this. People hated me for being the outsider. Even right now, you're watching me on the screen. You're probably like, look at this idiot in the light blue hat backwards and the Kango hat. Yeah, I'm different than you. You know, and that's okay. And again, I'm not trying to compare myself. I'm just saying I think that that exists in our world where there is a preconceived notion on how to do anything. And whenever somebody upsets that apple cart or says, fuck that, I'm not doing it that way, I'm doing it this way, and then they're successful at it, people don't like it. And then they have to discredit because they have to bring you back to where they wanted you to be. And I think that I honestly think that that's more of the reason he gets criticism than anything. I don't think it's about the arm talent. I don't think it's about, oh, he's not that good. I don't think it's, oh, he's not as good as Lamar or Josh or Patrick or Joe Burrow. I don't think it's any of that. I think Jalen makes people uncomfortable. I really do. I think he makes people fucking uncomfortable. And people don't want to be uncomfortable. People don't like being forced to crawl out of their own skin. All right? It makes them seethe. That's what Jalen brings to people. And I think that's where most of the hate comes from. Like, I don't give it. Like, I don't think it's all about the quarterback talent. What the fuck has he ever shown somebody that would say, oh, he's not that good of a quarterback? What, because he doesn't throw the ball as much as somebody else? What does that mean? I watched Jameis Winston throw for 5,000 yards 1 year. What, like, even the smartest football guys wouldn't look at the passing yards and that thing and be like, oh, he's not that good. There's something else there. Like, come on, you got people, you know, these scouts, these football minds, these GMs, whatever you want to put, these people are smart enough to know. They know. They don't want to admit it openly. They know that it ain't all about passing yards. They know that. They're not fucking stupid. Don't give them that much credit. They know exactly what the hell the deal is. But, again, Jalen breaks their mold. How do I chop him down to bring him back to where I wanted him to be or I told you he would be or where we expected him to be? I love him, man. I want Jalen to continue. And I don't have any doubt that he will, but it's inspiring for someone like me. You know, be yourself, Jalen. Keep saying fuck you to everybody who says you can't do it your way. Keep having the success that you're having. Keep the mentality that you're having, the mindset, the approach, the intangibles, and everything that makes you you. Keep saying your t-shirt slogans if it pisses people off. And admittedly, it's been, you know, before we had success, I was like, all right, is, you know, is the t-shirt slogan like, what is it? Is it real? Is it not? And again, that's why I made that comment after we won the Super Bowl. He is who he says he is. And that's my favorite part about a person. I don't care if people are different than me. I actually like when people, I don't expect anybody to be like me. I love, that's one of my favorite things about the earth that we live in. That's one of my favorite things about this chat room, you know? Crawley's different than Abe, and Abe is different than Neil, and Neil is different than Sig, and James is different than Master Eagle, and Mike Fittery is different than Kevin Savard. And that's what makes the world go round, you know? So I want him to continue to do that. And again, it's inspiring. I view it as inspiring, but not everybody will view it like that. And a lot of people will associate jealousy or associate whatever their preconceived notions are with that. And I think that that they try and use that to pull away from who the player is. And I'm not going to do that. Kimberly Sirico, what's up, Kimberly? Appreciate it for being here. Appreciate your email yesterday as well, Kimberly. She says, I see the media view on Hurts is changing for the better. To some extent. To some extent. I mean, you know, how can you deny it? At some point, you know, there are people out there who I think aren't too bothered by what I just explained. And they can look and say, hey, I was wrong. You know, I was wrong. This kid gets a job done. You know, what more do we want? What more do we really want from a quarterback? Like people have created this whole fucking roundabout thing about what a quarterback has to be. And it's all bullshit. It's all bullshit. Jalen, this is where Jalen, again, a young dude who seemingly has it more figured out than people who have been in the sport, in the game, in this industry for 40, 50 years. Keep the main thing the main thing. What is that? Five words? Keep the main thing the main thing. Seven words. Seven words is all Jalen needs to take their entire framework, their entire point of view, and put it in a paper shredder. You got to look this way. You got to throw the ball this. You got to get passing stats. You got to keep the main thing the main thing. Let's just keep winning games. Let's do whatever we got to do to win games. Keep the main thing the main thing. That's it. That's all the guy does. Think about that. That's all that matters, man. And a lot of people are fucking way off on that, on what really matters when it comes to a quarterback. I'm not really worried about that, actually. I'm not really worried about the passing yards. I'm not really worried about being the type of leader you think I have to be. I'm not really worried about what the perception is, all right, in the media. I just want to keep the main. I just want to win. That's it. That's all I want to do. However that looks, whatever I'm asked to do, whatever this team needs me to be as a quarterback, as a leader, that's it. That's all I want to do is keep the main thing, win games and go home and work my ass off. I'm telling you, man, that makes a lot of people uncomfortable. That makes a lot of people uncomfortable without a doubt. So we'll see, man. We will see how it all shakes out, but I feel very good about having Jalen Hurts as our quarterback. All right, I really do. I really do. And then I'll make a comment that might sound crazy to people, but I believe this. I don't know if there's a quarterback in the NFL right now that I would take for this team over Jalen Hurts. Now, I'm not sitting here and telling you that Jalen has the most inherent talent of them all or whatever. I don't think there's a quarterback that full package, thinking about everything they bring to the table. I don't know if there's a quarterback in football right now that would fit the Philadelphia Eagles better that I would prefer to have over who we have. Not Mahomes, not Joe, not Josh, not Lamar, and certainly not any of the other guys. Those are the only four you could even make a case on. But again, I think there's more to it than just what somebody can do or what somebody's talent is or skill set is. Take the entire body of work, the entire package that is Jalen Hurts, the intangibles, the mindset, the mentality, who he is as a player, the skill set, what he can do. I don't know if there's another quarterback I would put on this team over him. And again, maybe I sound like an Eagle homer at this point, but this team with this coach, with this roster, with this city. I mean, think about it. This city as a sports city. Let's just think about our city for a second. How many ups and downs we've had. How many times that we've been let down, or how much we get talked about as the way we are fans and the way we demand things out of players and all these different things. Think about the way they talk about us as fan base. Has Jalen Hurts quieted or at least shown us as fans how to view the game different? Like, I think he's even fucking perfect for our fans. Forget all the bullshit, everybody. Don't get caught up in that crap. Let's keep the main thing the main thing. It's like I think he's even given a lesson to the fans. Like, and I love that. I love that. Look, I'm a Philly guy. I've been a Philly fan my whole life. I get it. I really do. but I think there's something to learn from him. So that's why I say I don't know if there's a quarterback I would take over Jalen. And I'm sure people are going to be like, "Oh, you're fucking idiots, and you're a homer. Jalen's not that good. He's on a great team." All right, cool. That's your opinion. You're fine. That's your fine. You're entitled to have it. I would take Jalen for this specific team over everybody right now. No doubt. So good stuff there. All right, everybody. Great show this morning. We'll have a full 2-hour nightcap tonight, Birds 365, 6 to 8 p.m. Excuse me. It's been fun to be here with you guys this morning. We talked to Johnny Mack. For those just checking in, we did have Johnny Mack on for a little interview pre-day number 9 for this team. And Vic Fangio was set to speak this morning at 9:40. So we'll have another great week of content. Again, if you're just checking in, Thursday night, preseason game number 1, Cincinnati Bengals. It starts at 7:30 p.m. All right, so we'll be watching that. And then what is after that? You have the joint practices next week. And then preseason game number 2, I want to say, is 2 Saturdays from now. So a lot of good stuff. A lot of good stuff happening in Eagle Land. All right, appreciate everybody for being here this morning. Philly to Chicago, good stuff, brother. Appreciate you being here. You missed a good show this morning if you're just checking in. All right, if you're just checking in. So go back, listen to J-Mac. Go back, listen to my spiel. I've been rambling on about some shit, but I think all good shit overall. Jimbo, what's up, brother? Fly Eagles Fly, good to see you. Mesmerized, appreciate you. Sig Lord, Bird Gang Girl. Primo, what's up, Primo? All right, what's up, Primo? Twiz to Jacob, what up, Twiz? Dank Bird Gang, DeShay's in here, James Jones. Appreciate everybody, man. So thanks, everybody, for being here. Hit that like button on your way out. Plenty of content coming today, all right? We got 2 to 6, the National Football Show with Dan Cilio, all right? And then we have 6 to 8, Birds 365, a full recap of day number 9 of practice today for the Philadelphia Eagles. So keep it locked here on Jacob Sports. Don't forget to hit the like button. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel. A lot of our watchers are watchers but not subscribers. So subscribe if you're not subscribed already. Share it with a friend. If you got somebody who's a Birds fan who would like our content, get them over here, man. Tell them to watch the content. I think they'll like it. I think they'll enjoy their time here. So appreciate all of you guys, and I'll see you next time on Jacob Sports. Thanks, everybody.
EAGLES, Eagles.